Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. My name is Gerald G. Rat Riley, and unfortunately my co-host, who is the most, my beautiful wife, Katasha Riley, she couldn't be here today. She's taking care of the marriage business, so to speak. Hey, listen, we are broadcasting from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. Amen. Listen, the subject of summon conversation for today is the movie of education. I'm going to say that again. The subject of today's Sunday conversation is entitled The Movie of Education. In the studio today, our special guest, Mr. Ivan Rome. Say hello, Mr. Ivan Rome.
Hello, Mr. Ivan Rome.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Listen, man, this gentleman has a special place in my heart because his dad and I are good friends. We talk all the time in the barbershop, and he's homegrown, ladies and gentlemen, and I just can't say enough about this young man. He is truly an inspiration, and I can't wait to dive into and get into our Sunday conversation, The Movie of Education. Listen, how have you been, Ivan?
I've been good. It's been a busy summer so far, but I'm blessed to be here.
Awesome, man. That's what's up. A busy summer. So a little birdie told me that you're flying out next week.
Yeah, I'm flying out to the West Coast next week. Got a film festival going to Northern California. Then I'm gonna be out in L.A. for a week. Just got here from Miami for the American Black Film Festival.
Awesome, man. Listen, Orange. We have a baby Spike Lee in Columbus, Georgia, ladies and gentlemen. So Ivan, how has your education improved your life?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today without it.
Right.
It's the foundation of what I'm doing now. I was an athlete at first, you know, so I was thinking I was, you know, going to go to school on an athletic scholarship, playing sports, and that was what I was going to do. But, you know, life don't always go as you plan it. Some things are out of your control, and I got injured. I broke my leg, my fibula, and tore some ligaments in my ankle, and then, you know, I didn't have an athletic scholarship to fall back on. But luckily, I kept up my grades and I got an academic scholarship instead, which enabled me to go to college. And from there, I went to more school. You know, now I'm in film school in New York and at Columbia. And what I learned there has translated into where I am today with the film that I made in school, and now it's, you know, going to festivals and
living, you know, a life.
Yeah.
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, listen, Mr. Columbia University, what do you believe is the universal aim of education?
I think the universal aim of education.
And the reason why I ask that is because recently we have had a lot of graduates. Mm. And so a lot of these young men and women are trying to find their place in life and really trying to figure it out, which direction they want to go.
Yeah. I mean, I was like that when I graduated too. You know, I was going to school in undergraduate to be a journalist. That was the path that I had chosen in school.
Right.
But with journalism, there's a thing called AP style, which is like the formatting guide of like how you write and do journalism.
Where does AP style?
So it's the guideline of like what words you're supposed to use and how you're supposed to punctuate and format your sentences in a way that is seen as grammatically correct. You know, but with us being from down south, not the way we talk ain't always going to be
that southern twang.
You know, that southern twang, it ain't always going to be this prim and proper version of the American dialect. So I kind of pushed against that and was like, I don't necessarily, I love the storytelling of it all, but I don't necessarily like to constrict you know, my voice and the way I talk and the way that people I know and I grew up around talk as well.
I love it. I love it. So why film school? You were an athlete.
Yeah.
You majored in journalism. So why didn't you continue on to the path of journalism? Why film school?
Well, that was the reason, because I wanted to see my voice represented in the things that I make. So one of my professors told me, she pulled me aside and was like, well, you have this journalism background. My minor at the time was creative writing. She was like, you have a thing and a gift for storytelling. Try to do a film. And so she gave me the assignment of making a short film as one of my class, like my final thing to do for class. And I did it, and that sparked something in me where I realized, okay, maybe this is something that I could do, which takes me back to the aim of education, you know, which is to give us the tools that enable us to explore other things. And there's a foundation of the tools, whether it's critical thinking, whether in my case was how to even use a camera, put together a story that translated into something else that I was able to do. It gave me the confidence to try something new and to try and learn more and to fail and to be okay with that and finally explore what I was actually passionate about.
Awesome, man. I love that, man. You know, and everything you're saying, what I hear is the foundation has always been education.
Yes. And another thing too with education is that, you know, it puts people in your life that see something, that may see something in you that you don't see. You know, with my professor, I had no interest in film. I didn't think that was something that we could do.
Right.
You know, I was just like, oh, I didn't think of that.
You know, that's a great segue to my next question. Why do you suppose there is a shortage, opportunity? Why do you suppose there's less opportunities for Afro-American directors and filmmakers in Hollywood?
Well, I mean, I think it starts before you even get to Hollywood, right? I mean, I don't think we're really given that as an option as kids. I don't think it's...
And I don't mean to interrupt you, but that's why you're on this show, because I want our listening audience to understand, if you have a child or a child is listening, this is a viable option. I did some research, and I found out that the film industry is a $96 billion industry. Mm-hmm. And in 2030, it's going to be a $169 billion industry.
Yeah.
And so it's growing. And so this is a viable option and career path for young adults who are seeking a major in college. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but like that, and that's something that I didn't know until my last year of college, because we didn't have a film program.
Wow.
And we didn't. That wasn't something that I, you know, saw myself ever really pursuing, because I didn't know that it existed. And now that I know it exists, I think, kind of like to your point, it's showing people that they can do it and showing people that it is a viable option. But also, once we get to the level where we are breaking into the industry, I think the industry is one of those, just like most industries in America, it's
right.
It's been dominated by, you know, white males since its inception. It's been, you know, a white male oriented and dominated profession. From, you know, your Spielbergs, your Tarantinos, all of the folks.
Right, right.
Like, and all of the people that are leading the companies are also, you know, mostly white men.
But you up next.
Yeah, but, you know, we all up next.
That's right.
Because right now, I think we're at a time where the industry is, it's changing. You know, a lot of the old Hollywood folks are still around, but it is, you know, a new era and a new time for, you know, young filmmakers of color, you know, marginalized filmmakers, women, like to come in and change the game. There are a few black companies out there who, well, it's only, I think, two black companies who can actually finance a film that are the
and who is that?
Macro and Confluential Films. I think those are like the two companies who have financing power that outside of the big studios. Whereas like once that continues to grow, you know, and we continue to see more people of color who are making the ultimate decision, the final decision, where money is going, I think it'll be even more opportunities. But, you know, it just takes continued, you know, work and, you know, us showing up when black movies are in the theaters.
I love them.
You know, because that is one of the things that determines where the money's going.
It's about the numbers at the end of the day. Yeah. And so when a black filmmaker produces a film and drops a film, it's our responsibility as Afro-Americans to go see the movie. But it has to be a good movie. It has to be something that we want to see.
Yeah.
You know, don't just put out something, you know, just because, you know, we're brothers, I'm going to go see it. No, I want to see something that's nice.
Yeah.
Now tell me something, Ian. Do you believe that social media has changed the narrative of filmmaking? Yeah, because now you see these young kids making like short movies on the phones and all this other stuff. So,
you know, I think there's a lot of power in social media, and there is a lot of opportunity in social media. I have to do better myself at using social media. But so many people are getting discovered on social media.
Yes.
And a lot
of... Do you encourage them to...
Yeah. I say keep doing it, because what you're creating, you have your own built-in audience. If you got 6 million followers on TikTok, that's 6 million eyes viewing what you're making. You know what I'm saying? If you want to make a movie and a studio sees, oh, they got 6 million people watching what they do on their phone.
Right.
You know, that's going to have you in the conversation before, you know, someone else who may have, you know, 600 followers, which it's, you know, yeah, it gives creators, you know, a bit of leverage, you know, when it comes to getting a job.
Awesome. Now, just in case you're joining us today for Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, the subject of our Sunday Conversation is the movie of education. And I'm in the studio with Mr. Ivan Rome. And we're talking about his life, basically, as a young man who's in school. What's the name of the school you attend?
Columbia University.
Yeah. Columbia University. And he is a film major, correct?
Yes.
Now, just imagine, I'm a young man. I just graduated high school, and I'm trying to find my path in life. As a film major, what would you tell that young man or that young woman? Why should I choose your path?
Why choose my? I mean, there's opportunities with film. I think in creating, you have to explore yourself. You know, you get to explore the way that you see the world, what is important to you. Because when you're making something, like you said earlier, you don't just want to make something and you want to make something nice. I think in order to make something nice, you have to go a little bit deeper in within yourself and the stories that you want to tell and why you're telling them and the audience that you're trying to reach. So it gives you, in film, I think it gives you a lot of time to see what matters to you. And it may not be that you want to be a filmmaker, but at least you explore that avenue and you see what you really want to do. It may be exploring film makes you realize, oh, I actually care about science a lot. Maybe I should try something STEM related. Or you may try to make a film about music and realize you actually want to be a musician. It's just like being in the space that gives you the creativity and the time to really do some soul searching about who it is that you want to be and the things that you want to say in the world. So that would be a reason to just try film just for that.
Awesome, man. That is. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you are a product of public education, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so my next question is, why is public education important? And how did public education get you on a path to where you're currently at?
I think public education is important because you are surrounded by people. You don't. I think the difference between a public school education and private school education is in private school, it's picked. You know that they're picking kids. You got to pay, and it's very. You don't get a real look at the world. You know it's a look at the world from the viewpoint of a selected few.
Right, right.
Whereas in public school, whether you're the prince or the pauper, everybody you meet everybody from every different background, and it gives you a holistic view of how this world really looks and all the people in it. You know, it's not this world full of just rich kids. You know, that you see in some private institutions, but you get a real sense of like people from all generations and all walks of life, you know. So it I think that was the benefit of public school, is that you really are exposed to new people and different ways of thinking. I think everybody really needs that to grow and to learn in an environment where you're not just learning education, but you're learning about the world at the same time.
I love public school because it is truly what the United States is about. It's a melting pot of all different cultures and, you know, ethnicities. And, you know, it's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, I believe Joe Biden was working with Congress or someone to do some debt forgiveness for college students. What do you think about that?
Well, we need it. I need it a lot. I do want to say too that on private schools, I think that there are benefits
to them. Most definitely.
But I think the diversity that public school brings, I think, is essential to how I grew as a child.
It reflects life.
Yeah, it reflects life. Yeah, but I don't think I would be who I am today without public school and the debt that I'm in.
right. That's what I'm talking about.
The debt that I am in.
It's ridiculous.
Is ridiculous, yes, from college. I mean, I was blessed for, you know, my undergraduate education. I was on scholarship. But in graduate school, you know, film school, you get a little scholarship money, but it is expensive. I will say it is very expensive. And I mean, it's for me and a lot of my classmates and a lot of people that I've met, you know, eventually you got to go in it with the faith that you're going to pay it off, you know, like.
Right, right.
You look at it as an investment
You got it.
Yeah, so it's like, this is an investment in my future. If this is something that I'm passionate about and I care about, it's a big number, but
right.
But this amount of debt is not gonna keep me from achieving what I was called to do. So I really don't look at it as like, you know, the end all be all. But if Joe could, you know, fix that,
go ahead and pass that.
It would be a blessing. Because it is ridiculous how much money people have to pay for an education when, you know, it should, like, school, I think, should be free. Like, it shouldn't be this expensive.
I believe it's free in some countries.
It is. It's free in some countries, and I don't know why it's not here, because I think if school were free and everyone had the same access, then the world would be a better place, because you have a more educated workforce, and you not starting so many people off in their careers with so much debt that they can't ever get out of it.
You know, I also believe you would have a healthier workforce because the financial stress.
Yes.
You know, it weighs on you. Stress will kill you.
Yes.
And stress affects your health.
Yeah.
And so, you know, here's President Joe Biden paying off all the college debt, or passing the legislation to pay off all the college debt. Now, do you believe that social media and film, the film industry, has changed, and why? How has it affected the film industry?
Well, I guess for like going back to my previous take on social media, is I think that it has put more creators in. It's made it easier for like companies and studios and to and managers, agents to find creators that they wouldn't have seen any other way. You know, like you may have someone who does TikTok who's in like, you know, the middle of nowhere in North Dakota, you know, just random. I mean, if someone's from North Dakota who's listening, I'm sorry, but it is a random state.
Right.
But if someone's from North Dakota and they got a bunch of followers on TikTok that they wouldn't have had eyes on the things that they were making any other way, that, you know, puts them right in front of the people who can find them and give them a job. For people here in Columbus, you know, there's not many folks from Columbus out in Los Angeles or even in New York. But it puts, you know, you get this, you have this tool in your hand that puts you
right
on line where anybody in the world could see, whether it's in Los Angeles or whether it's in Japan or London or Paris, you know, you have this tool where, you know, now you can put your own stuff out there and the world can see you. You don't have to wait for the opportunity. You can create the opportunity.
Awesome. Just in case you're joining us for Sunday Conversation, we're in the studio with Mr. Ivan Rome, and we're talking about the subject, the movie of education. Now, Mr. Rome, what you made a short film, and so I want to know, what is the name of your short film, what it's about, and what inspired you to make a short film? Again, this young man, Ivan Rome, he is homegrown. He was educated in Columbus, Georgia, public school system. Now he's in Columbia for his
master's
degree in film. We're talking about public education here now. But go ahead, Brother Rome.
The film is called TikTok Challenged. It's a story about a grandmother and her grandson coming together trying to make a TikTok video. Which, speaking of social media,
right?
But it was inspired by my grandmother. Me and her tried to make
the one that cooked them great cakes and cookies.
Yeah,
man, yes. Shout out to grandmama.
Yes, the one that cooked them great cakes and cookies.
What's grandmama's name?
Well, I call her Ganny, but Barbara Porter. That's her
shout
name.
Out to Miss Barbara Porter, man, who make the best German chocolate cakes and cookies, man, this side of the Mason-Dixon.
Yeah. So yeah, shout out to her. But she was trying to put her recipe, do a little TikTok to put a little peach cobbler recipe on TikTok.
Wow.
Yeah. So we was trying to do that, and I was like, you know, thinking about it, like, this is something that I'm sure is not just a thing that's happening right here in this kitchen.
Right.
You know, this is an intergenerational story that I think a lot of people can resonate with, because we are at a time where everybody, whether it's your grandmother, your auntie, your uncle, everybody's got social media and everyone's trying to figure it out together. And it's got this way of bringing people together. And also with social media, it does have a way of, you know, thinking that we're together, but actually it brings us farther apart because we're constantly on our phones.
I love that.
But I wanted to show that it can bring people together in this story. And also, you know, I had to make a film for school in order to graduate. And so I was like, well, this is the perfect thing for me to do. It was my second year, and we shot it, and it's on the festival circuit now, and it's been doing well, and, you know,
man,
grateful.
I love it, man. I love it. Now, Ivan Rome, what inspires you? You're a young man. You have your bachelor's degree. You're going to school to get your master's. You're in film school. So what's your inspiration? Because I understand your foundation is public education. Mm-hmm. Education. So what's your inspiration?
I think my inspiration is coming back here, being with my family, you know.
Homegrown.
I think seeing that I have opportunity to do something that maybe my grandma didn't have the opportunity to do and my parents didn't have the opportunity to do. It's like it inspires me to make something that, you know, they can see and they can be proud of, because, you know, I want them to see that all the work that they did didn't necessarily wasn't in vain, you know. It went towards this thing that I'm pursuing now, and we'll want to continue to, you know, use this thing to eventually pay off, you know, all the loans and all their bills and all, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that inspires me, and just the seeing, like, it was at the American Black Film Festival this past week, and just seeing all of these great black creators and these black professionals and all of these people, just seeing that it's something that I could do, and that it is a possibility. And I think the possibility of the future inspires me, because I don't know what it holds, but I do know that greatness is achievable. And so I'm excited about that and inspired to continue working towards something great.
I love that, man. I love education, man, because education expands your mind. Education exposes you to things that you wouldn't normally see.
Yeah.
So my last question, Ron, I want you to knock it out of the park. Why is the film industry important to our black culture?
Well, it captures us in our authentic essence.
Without that, well, with the AP, without the AP.
Without the AP. Without the AP. Oh, without the AP style.
Right. Without the AP style.
No. But I think the film industry allows us to capture our essence without AP style, without anybody telling us this is how it's supposed to be. It's us being able to tell our authentic and our real stories in our voices, and in a way that is made for us. It's not, you know, this other version of someone trying to show black people how to be who we are. Is us being able to craft our experiences and our reality and show it to the world, and show ourselves that we exist and that we are here and that this is something that we can do. And I think that's the importance of being able to make movies and being able to make art in general, whether it's music, whether it's movies, whether it's a painting, whether it's a photography, something that lasts forever, that shows us that we exist and that we're here, is, I think that's the beauty of the film industry.
I love it, man. Thank you so very much, Ivan Rome, for the interview. This has been Sunday Conversations with the Rileys. Peace.
Thank you.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns, or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.